Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents A Shake of Succubus by S.E. Babin, narrated by Heather Nichols. Chapter 1. Dave hunkering over his drink was the only familiar thing in this place. He'd kept his tentacles tucked in this time, much to the staff's relief. While we thought it was gross but harmless, the new clientele was not so forgiving. I swept my gaze around the bar, absentmindedly wiping out yet another glass. Landry usually took care of this chore, but he'd been out for the last few days, some kind of bachelor celebration for one of his friends. That left me, Keeley, and the ever-present and moody Olive tending the bar. Mostly me. Olive was here because I busted her sabotaging me and forced Ariel's hand to honor the accords. I gave the agreement a modern twist, though, because enslaving the poor fairy for what she did seemed a little much. Keeley stayed behind because I offered her a job and a contract for 100 years. Plus, I liked her. Olive? Not so much. I'd been here for 2 hours so far, and the bar hadn't slowed down a bit. The jukebox blared continuously. Demons loved music. Bad, good, weird. As long as it was on, they didn't care. No matter when I came in, something different was on. Today, Lynyrd Skynyrd crooned about their sweet home in Alabama, of all places, followed by CCR's Green River. It could be worse. A few days ago, someone was really into Michael Bublé, and I damn near had to break up a demon riot. As far as gigs went, it wasn't bad. It helped that I negotiated an outrageous pay raise. Like, really outrageous. 6 figures outrageous. With perks. I could retire in a few years if I wanted to, kind of outrageousness. Of course, I'd probably be dead in a few years, so I'd never see the money put to good use, but a girl could always dream, couldn't she? Luce, as I'd taken to calling him in my head, a.k.a. Lucifer, a.k.a. Hottie Pants, gave me free rein to remodel the place however I wanted to, but as big as I dreamed, it looked pretty similar to the other Swan Noveltinis, just bigger. Grander, maybe. I missed having my own place. Yes, technically this place was mine, but it came with a lot of strings attached. I never wanted to be a Pinocchio, but somewhere along the way, my life got complicated enough to warrant my very own Geppetto, a.k.a. the demon, giving me broody bedroom eyes from across the bar. I dropped my eyes before I did something stupid like blush or giggle like a schoolgirl, lecturing myself silently for about the 100th time since I'd arrived that fateful day a few weeks ago. You cannot crush on the devil, Violet. You cannot stare at the devil's tight tushy, Violet. You cannot run your fingers down his golden forearms, Violet. You cannot. Hell. I was in literal and metaphorical hell. I grew up on stories about Lucifer, some good, some bad, and some terrifying enough to give me nightmares. I wasn't sure what to expect when I finally met him, but it wasn't what I got. He was a supernova, and I was a planet caught up in his magnetic field. The mark made it worse. I felt his presence even when he wasn't close, and sometimes his moods, knowing when Lucifer was happy or sad, or heaven forbid, I fully understand the irony, aroused, made me want to pull every strand of hair out of my head and shove it in my mouth so no one could hear me scream. From the gossip, the bar hadn't been the same since I arrived. Not because of me, though one would think it, but because Lucifer was hanging around way more than usual, almost every day. The number of patrons in the bar dropped when Lucifer decided to pop in unannounced on a regular basis, which was hurting my bottom line. Though, not really, since I negotiated an outrageous salary for all of us. But still, it was annoying. Granted, the place was still hopping, but I spotted at least 3 open tables, which rarely happened before I'd arrived. But how do you tell the literal devil to get lost? And did I really want him to go? I blinked. Yes, yes, of course I wanted him to go. If my foster father were here, he'd kick my ass for even thinking about Lucifer in that way. The man had been the literal boogeyman in almost every story Az had ever told me, so I must be a total moron to let my thoughts stray into hearts and butterflies territory. I blamed this on Az. He'd kept me too sheltered over the years, and I'd never had a boyfriend last more than a few months because he'd chase them away by doing something terrifying and I'd have to start all over. Sighing, I finished wiping out the glasses and arranged them carefully for the next afternoon. Landry was due back tomorrow for the first shift. I had the day off, but planned to pop in and do some potion work. We were running low on a few of the more popular items, and I'd avoided working overtime due to my annoying crush on my new boss. A soft, warm light pulsed a few feet away, coming closer until Keeley landed on one of the cups I'd just cleaned, depositing a healthy dose of fairy dust inside. Normally, this would annoy me, but fairy dust was expensive, and I'd found some good uses for it over the last few weeks. I'd asked her for permission to gather it. Doing it without it felt wrong, but Keely was delighted for someone else to use her byproduct. Her words, not mine. If I thought about it too much, I might start wearing a hazmat suit to gather it. Olive flat out refused, which didn't worry me too much. Who knew what kind of darkness hers held? Chancing that in a spell was a greater risk than I wanted to take. She was perpetually pissed off. Not much different from before, but now she had a reason. Getting busted was her own fault. I'd only taken advantage of the situation.
"Hi, Violet," she greeted.
Keely had become quite the fashionista since her pay bump. I didn't have the heart to tell her Barbie clothes weren't all that expensive. She'd discovered Etsy, though, and even I was a little jealous of all the cute stuff she got to wear. Today it was a pair of dark wash skinny jeans with wedge heels, a pretty lacy camisole, and a black biker jacket. She'd wound her hair up in a messy bun and secured it with sparkling butterfly clips. The first time I brought her in, the demons had a field day. Not many bright and beautiful things hung around them for long, so they'd stared at her first before one ventured over. Keely wasn't sure what to think, but I admired her ability to stand firm, even in the face of fear. A fire-wielding demon could take her out in mere seconds, but this one merely stared at her in fascination. Soon enough, she'd become fast friends with a few of them, and a source of wonder for the others not yet brave enough to introduce themselves. As far as me, demon lore had gotten tipped on its head when I stepped in as apothecary and guardian for this place. I'd seen a few demons in my day, and I'd never forgotten Az's lessons. But my foster father had been remiss in his education. He sought to instill fear, which, considering who I was and where I came from, was a solid plan. But he'd failed to tell me about the good ones. One plopped down in front of me.
"Hey."
Keely's dust went bright pink.
"Bianca!" "Hey, Sprite,"
Bianca laughed when Keely glared at her.
"You know I'm just kidding. How's it going?"
Lex and Bianca were usually inseparable, but I found out later Bianca was a succubus, an unusual one. Her aura didn't look quite like the others, and succubi were demons, something else I hadn't known until the madness of my current life had crept up on me. It made sense when I thought about it. Their victims give up a piece of their souls each time Bianca takes them to bed. Sounds pretty demonish when you think about it.
"What's up, Violet?"
She tapped her fuchsia-painted fingernails on the bar.
"Got the stuff to make a Cosmo?"
"Coming right up." I focused on making the drink as she and Keely caught up. Bianca and I had never been as friendly as Lex and I, though even that was debatable considering I hadn't seen her in over a week. From what Bianca told me, she didn't love coming here. Demons were wary of seers, and seers had every right to be wary of demons. After all, they'd hunted them close to extinction some millennia back. Lex came from a particularly powerful line and tried to keep her powers under wraps, but in the new Swan Noveltinis, glamours and concealment spells were swept away as soon as you stepped through the door. She'd come in once before knowing that little tidbit and lit up like a Christmas tree. I'd never seen males flock to a woman as they did Lex that night. 10 minutes after she came in, she left in a hurry, white-faced and tense. This was also the reason Az and Max never visited. But neither of them would be so foolish as to step foot into Lucifer's domain, not after how they'd left him. Az wasn't pleased with my new gig, though he knew wearing Lucifer's mark would protect me from the others who hunted me, Lucifer included. I was a big old piece of juicy bait dangling right under his nose, and Luce hadn't yet realized it. When he did, and he realized he couldn't harm me because of the mark, well, I didn't even want to think about it. Hell hath no fury like the devil scorned. I pushed the pink concoction over to her. "How's Lex?" Bianca shrugged as she pulled out the tiny pink umbrella.
"She's all right. You should pop by our house sometime."
"I have no idea where she lives." I bent down and grabbed a small thimble. Keely loved Cosmos, and there was no reason to let the rest go to waste. Her eyes lit up as I pushed the thimble toward her.
"Thanks."
She plunked herself down on the bar, crossed her legs, and sipped from it as she watched us. Bianca wrote down an address using a piece of paper she dug out from her purse.
"Go see her,"
she urged me, an expression on her face I couldn't quite place.
"Lex has been asking about you."
I tucked the paper into my pocket. "Sure, I'm on call every night, but I usually know when he's about to blow my phone up." Bianca grinned, knowing exactly who the he in question was.
"I'm sure you don't mind."
That's the thing. I should mind. Why I didn't was a question that had bothered me since I'd first woken up in his cozy little room. I wasn't prone to crushes like this. No woman was immune to a hot guy, but the vast majority of us had the self-control to look and not touch. My self-control hung by a thread of fishing line, and that was definitely unlike me. "I do mind," I said quietly, chancing a glance toward him. He sat at a table with a few of his higher-ranking demons playing some strange game with a handful of off-white dice, which I hoped weren't made of bone. So they were definitely made of bone. Ick. I'd kept up their drink supply without going over there too much, but it would have helped if Landry were here. A full bar was too much for one person to handle, especially while they tended bar two. Maybe I should hire someone. The thought of it made me itch. I'd kept myself safe by keeping people at arm's length. Adding another person into the mix wouldn't be ideal, but it would be helpful. I'd have to talk to Lucifer about it. He didn't have the final say, but the person would have to be trustworthy. Maybe even accept a gesh, and many paranorms weren't crazy about it. Bianca sipped her Cosmo and studied me.
"You know, I wasn't sure what to make of you when I first met you, but you're proving more interesting by the day."
"Exactly what I hoped for," I said dryly. "That got me plunked here in a demon bar guarding the gates to hell." She laughed.
"One gate," she clarified. "There are many."
Bianca tilted her head.
"Though this is the most dangerous."
"Yay," I cheered sarcastically. Keely giggled and tipped her thimble back. I topped off her drink and wagged my finger. "Last one."
"Boo, hiss,"
mocked Keely. "You're a grumpy drunk," I said as I dripped the last of the Cosmo into her thimble. Bianca snorted.
"Better than that disaster you have up in the lights," she said, referring to Olive. "She's mad Violet got one over on her. Fairies hate to lose," she said cheerfully. "Olive thought she was some grand spy, but it didn't take Violet long to catch on."
I gave her a weird look, but Keely shrugged.
"It's true. We're born and bred to be spies. Not all of us choose the path, but our queen takes pride in her ability to create the best spy army this side of the fairylands."
Bianca blinked and reached over to snatch the thimble from Keely's hands. At the fairy's protest, the succubus laughed.
"You'll get it back when you learn to control your mouth," she whispered, looking around. "This is a demon bar, Keely. Always assume everyone is listening."
Keely's shoulders slumped.
"Sorry."
Bianca's lips thinned as she dumped the thimble back into her own drink.
"Don't apologize to me."
Her gaze slid to mine.
"You both need to mind your tongues here. Never consider yourselves safe in a place like this."
I tilted my head. Bianca's eyes looked haunted. Leaning in, I murmured,
"You can always talk to us if you need to, but I'll heed your advice. Thank you."
Bianca tipped up the rest of her Cosmo and drained it.
"I'll be back in a couple of days. Go see Lex."
Since she'd reminded me twice, I thought it best I move Lex up to the top of my to-do list. It wasn't like Bianca to repeat herself.
"I will."
She pushed a tip my way.
"Be good, girls."
Bianca touched her finger lightly to the tip of Keely's shoe.
"You have a friend in me, fairy," she said quietly. "Remember that."
Keely looked up, her sullen expression brightening.
"You too."
Bianca gave her a sad smile before she stood and slung her purse over her shoulder.
"See you around."
On her way out, a demon reached out to drag his clawed fingers down her arm. I watched as Bianca steeled, turned to him, and smiled, her eyes glowing with her strange pink and silver power. The demon's smile slipped as Bianca reached down and grabbed him by the shirt collar.
"Do you want to come home with me, little demon?"
she purred. Keely stilled next to me before she scooted a little closer to my elbow. Her tiny fingers reached out and clutched my sleeve. The demon swayed in her fingers, a result of the potion he'd ordered tonight. Paranorm metabolism was so high, regular alcohol didn't affect them. Or it did, but it burned off so fast the effect lasted seconds rather than hours. As an apothecary, I had the dubious honor of holding the power to make potions and drinks to bypass their quick metabolism and give them both the experience they sought and a wicked hangover. Some of the add-ins I offered could enhance it, and unfortunately for this poor soul, he'd ordered some doozies tonight.
"I love to," the demon slurred,
seemingly forgetting about the current chokehold Bianca had around his neck. Conversation all but stopped as everyone watched the outcome. Bianca was a staple here, and she was popular, but everyone, except for this joker it seemed, knew to leave her alone. She worked directly for Lucifer. I'd never seen them interact with each other, but he always nodded when she arrived and left, acknowledging her profession and allowing her autonomy, something I didn't quite understand, but still respected. Bianca said, studying the demon. The unearthly power glowed against her skin, and as I watched, the demon began to glow too. There was an uncomfortable shift in the room, with some demons sensing what was happening and looking elsewhere. Others grimaced but couldn't tear their eyes away. I'd never seen her in action before, so I had no idea what was going on. I sensed it wasn't good, though.
What's happening? Keely whispered.
Stay quiet and unseen, Keely, I advised. She nodded and tucked herself further into the crook of my arm, peeking out behind my elbow. Soon the demon's body was outlined with a strange red glow. As I watched, Bianca inhaled, the red glow going from the demon into Bianca. He gave her a sloppy smile and swayed against her.
Does that feel nice? She said, shifting her body to keep him upright.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Her eyes glowed as she drank from him.
Bianca!
One of the other demons at the table warned. Her attention snapped to him.
It's rude to interrupt a girl's meal.
The demon held his hands up and looked down. Bianca continued to drink, and it became apparent she had no plans to stop. I turned, gathering Keely up in my hands. Don't look, I told her. We headed to the back, and I pushed through the kitchen doors, not wanting to see the aftermath. I knew what succubi did, and I knew how they kept their youth and vitality. It didn't mean I wanted to watch, nor did I want Keely to see Bianca's true power. Succubi were parasites, in a way, made by Lucifer himself. I pressed my back against the door once it closed behind me and let go of Keely. She zipped away and hovered a few feet in front of me.
Why did she do that?
Her voice was quiet but curious.
Bianca doesn't like attention unless she invites it.
I shook my head and walked over to my spelling table. The new one was massive, stainless steel and enclosed in a carved circle within the stone floor. It made things a lot easier when I was on a deadline. Keely hovered over and sat on my shoulders, holding on to a hunk of my hair as I busied myself gathering ingredients. I'd set this up first, then go out once it was done. Killing someone by draining their soul was bound to take more than a minute or two, but if it didn't, I still needed that time to get the sight of Bianca going full-on demon out of my head.
She doesn't like that demon?
Keely asked. I don't think Bianca likes anyone who invites themselves to touch her without her permission. Keely fell silent.
I agree. No one should touch you without your consent. Back home it is frowned upon. But we don't have the ability to...
She paused.
Do whatever Bianca's doing.
I almost laughed, though the sound would be more horror-touched than amused. I had a lot of power, most of it untouched, but sucking a man's soul dry would take a lot more prep than just breathing him in and calling it good. Things will be fine in a few minutes, I assured her. I pulled my spelling bowl out and gathered holy water from the refrigerator and a handful of herbs. Several things ran low at the bar, and I needed to catch up before it became an issue. Keely didn't respond, just held onto my hair while I did my thing. After a few minutes, I nodded and peeked out the door. Lucifer caught my eye and gave me a short nod, a question simmering in his eyes. I walked back out, unsure what I would find, but Bianca was gone and there was no sign of the other demon. If she killed him, the evidence was quickly disposed of. Several demons raised their hands for drinks. I held up a finger and headed back to the bar. My momentary break was over. The clock barely read 10 p.m., so I had a while before things shut down. I tuned everything out and got busy slinging drinks. Such was the life of an apothecary. Chapter 2. A disturbing rumbling came from the portal 10 minutes before closing. Most of the demons had left a few minutes before, dropping tips on their table before mumbling their farewells. I'd come to realize the vast majority of them wanted a safe place to wind down. Most caused no trouble. Those were always my favorite patrons. Most passages to and from the portal were silent. Some of the more powerful demons caused a ruckus, but it wasn't anything I got involved in. There'd be some shaking and glass rattling before it spit out someone wearing the rank of Lucifer's favored lieutenants. I got used to it after a while.
This felt different. Glasses rattled on the tables and bar. Books fell, shaken from the places they lay tucked on the shelves. The floor beneath me bucked and rolled, sending me slamming into the wall. I cursed, holding my shoulder. What the hell? Grim Ale, what's going on? Lucifer left with the last batch, leaving only Grim Ale and two other demons still nursing their spiked lemonades. He was a decent sort, ugly as sin, but I'd gotten used to it after seeing him a few times. He was tall like most of them and wore strange red armor that looked like it was part of his skin. His skin was dark gray and had the look of pumice stone. Grim Ale's eyes were a flat black, but the demon usually had a sense of humor about the world, until tonight. As soon as the tremors got worse, he snapped his fingers. The other demons grabbed the remnants of their game, shoved everything into their pockets, and headed toward the exit portal.
Sorry, Violet, Grim Ale said. Good luck.
I spluttered. What the hell is that supposed to mean? He gave me a grimace and a wave. Who's worse than Lucifer? I demanded to the empty bar. Keely and Olive retired an hour ago, the latter throwing me her daily evil glare before they went home. The floor buckled again, throwing me against a table.
Shit!
I cried, rubbing my injured hip. A dark god stepped through the portal. Okay, not really. If someone asked me what I thought a dark god would look like, I'd describe this guy. More powerful demons had more human features. Or I guess I should say humans had demon features. Angel features. They were the same except for the poor reputation. And the whole condemned to hell thing. Most demons dealt in absolutes. Dark hair, black like your soul. Blue eyes, blue like a clear summer day. Blonde hair, gold like spun wheat. You get the idea. Slap your favorite romantic hero in there, and you'd spit out descriptions of the higher echelon demons. This one, he was different. His hair was brown, but not regular brown, like awesome brown. It moved like he stood before a nubile woman holding a massive hand fan. Strands of golden chestnut revealed themselves as the freaking wind that I couldn't figure out where it was coming from moved it like he was a hero on a movie set. What the actual fuck? His eyes took everything in, flicking over me before cataloging every tiny thing in the bar. They were a strange kaleidoscope of green, gold, brown, and silver. I'd seen nothing like him in my entire life. He was stunning, jaw-dropping, most bettable. I wondered for a brief moment how flexible he was and what he looked like underneath that armor. What the hell was wrong with me? He cleared his throat.
Guardian?
I blinked. Yes?
Are you unwell?
His voice was deep and rumbling, accented from a place even I couldn't identify. His skin was carved marble, a proud nose, high cheekbones, full lips, and a jaw so sharp it would give me a paper cut when we inevitably made out. Yes, I said it. I'd never given a demon a whirl before, but wasn't it about time I expanded my horizons? Shut up, my brain whispered while my hormones screamed, la 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 la, to shut the reasonable part of me up. Yes, fine, totally fine. The smile I wore must be manic. It felt manic. I felt manic. Holy shit, what was happening to me?
I am Samael. I must speak with you.
The name wasn't familiar. Would you like to speak in my bedroom, naked? I blinked at him. Sure. My brain finally clicked and started behaving and operating. Samael stared at me like I was slow. Would you like a drink? He flicked his fingers dismissively.
My body is a temple. I do not poison it with apothecary blends.
Whoa. My ovaries sat down and shut the fuck up. It didn't matter. Man, male, demon, angel, paranorm. They always ruined things as soon as they opened their mouths, didn't they? Huh, I said and stared at him a little harder. Would you like some toilet water then? I have some in the back. Samael blinked at me. I'm sure I could dig up some sewer water if you'd prefer that. Or I have some sketchy stuff Grim Ale brought back from one of his travels that he swears is Mexican tequila. It most definitely wasn't, and I couldn't identify it because I was too afraid to open the bottle.
You are mocking me?
His voice sounded incredulous. My eyes widened in innocence. Mocking isn't part of my job description. I'm only offering you what's outside of my purview as apothecary, since you have an aversion to my talents. His eyes narrowed as he chewed on that. I turned, rolling my eyes, and made myself a piña colada. When I stuck the umbrella in and took my first sip, I looked up, only to see Samael standing in the same place. You can sit down if you like, I said, gesturing to all the chairs. His nostrils flared.
You are unlike the last one.
I clicked my teeth. I get that a lot. Samael's boots clicked on the floor as he came toward the bar, selecting a seat directly across from me. It was the bad stool, the one I hadn't fixed yet. The seat had a loose screw, just like this demon, I suspected, and it became a source of great amusement to leave it be and watch new demons sit on it and be too polite to say something.
This stool is broken, he said right away.
So, not polite then. I shrugged. It was fine until you sat on it. His mouth fell open.
It was not, he said hotly.
I'm going to have to add it to your tab.
I do not have a tab.
You do now, I said and took a sip of my drink. He pinched the space between his brows, which told me my work here was done. Samael held a finely wrought, veinless hand up, a gesture most people use to beg me to stop.
I do not have time for your word menagerie.
Ooh, I marveled.
Big words.
He inhaled a deep sigh.
Guardian, please stop. I'm here at the behest of Lucifer.
My eyes narrowed.
Why? For reasons unknown to me, your safety is paramount to him.
Was that sarcasm, Samael? I fanned my hand at my face. So hot. He rolled his eyes.
Can you take this seriously for one moment, please? This duty displeases me. I suggested a lesser demon to ensure your safety, but you are, he grimaced, important to our lord.
This sticks a wrench in your machine, does it? I asked. Leaning against the back of the bar, I studied him. Samael seemed more human than most of the other demons I'd met. The vast majority acted like they had a stick up their ass. Angels were the same way. Being separated by realms didn't change the fact that many were haughty assholes. Samael seemed more expressive than the others. Who are you anyway? I asked as I hopped up on the bar and let my legs swing. His eyes flicked over them and back up to my face.
I am Samael. I've already told you this.
I snorted and waved a hand. Yes, but who is Samael?
I am the Destroyer, the Scourge of Angels, Heaven's Wrath, General of Hell's Most High. I am...
Whoa! I held up a hand. I wanted to know if you like Netflix and you went all,
Roar, I am Heaven's Destroyer!
Yeesh! No need to get so intense.
Wrath,
he clarified, his glare withering.
Heaven's Wrath.
Whatever. I hopped off the bar and set my drink down. The thing that matters here is my answer. His brow furrowed, marring his otherwise perfect forehead.
Your answer?
Yep. By the way, it's no.
No?
His lips curled around the word as if he'd never heard it before. I nodded. Nope. Nada. Niet. Absolutely freaking not. That isn't part of our deal. His eyebrows rose.
You think you have a choice?
He chuckled, and I hated how it made my insides all mushy. I'd stifled the fear I felt when he walked in, telling myself it was only another demon, and this was my job now. Then I got promptly distracted by how pretty he was, and my brain short-circuited when he told me why he was there. Sometimes I handled fear with sarcasm and flippancy. It wasn't always wise, but sometimes it was all I had. Now with him standing in front of me, telling me he was my new protector, it hit me all at once. My privacy would be extinct if Lucifer had assigned him to me. I'd rather chew rusty nails than have a bodyguard. As it was now, privacy came with some extra steps on my part. Lucifer's bond added another knot in the puzzle, but I figured out how to stifle that part so he couldn't pinpoint exactly where I was. I had a 5-mile radius, which was less than I wanted, but trying for more might need more magic than I was prepared to give. I could still see Az and Ellie when I wanted to, though it took me twice as long to lose the occasional tail he put on me. So having Sam I Am over here constantly up my rear was less than ideal.
The Guardian Killer has become braver and more skilled as the weeks pass by without resolution. Lucifer is concerned about your safety and has entrusted his most cherished resource to protect you.
My eyebrow went up. Humble, aren't you?
There is no need for humble. He sent the best, and you should be grateful.
His words made me grit my teeth. His expression made me want to punch him. Demons already had enough arrogance to keep themselves warm in the woods for weeks on end, but Samael believed he was the best thing since sliced bread. And trust me when I say there is little better than sliced bread, especially if it's straight from the oven. Lucifer doesn't think the other guardians can protect themselves? He studied his fingernails.
They are dead, so obviously not.
I snorted. Not all of them.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?